Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Sachs. Thank you so much for joining us today to save a life throughout the year, where we walk by faith and not by sight, to destiny calls for God. In this place, our process is the place where we allow the word, the will, the life of God to meet us, to truth again, to form us into the image of what He is, who He is in us. We do this by agreeing with God, by faith, and obediently following after hours to walk in faith.
Power in the process, power in the everyday life, how we win, how we succeed, how we overcome by applying the word of God as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Christ is revealed to us more and more by allowing the word of God to become more than just logos, but become the rhema, a living word inside of us. And we now follow after that word, pant after that word, and we're determined to be what God says we are changed, to become light and salt for someone else. We become that which shines brightly, and someone else is helped, someone else is encouraged, someone else is brought to Jesus Christ because of what we display. So the process of there is not a hard, it's not easy, it's a hard process, because it is us being changed from the former us, different mindsets, different attitudes, different gratitudes, how we act, react, how we now move from walking and living according to our flesh and now living according to the will and the word of God. See, as we do that, we become more and more like Him in a way that He is glorified in the earth through us. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessing, starting off in the book of Esther, looking at her life, going to Joseph, looking at his life, looking at Jacob's life, seeing an unlikely character, but God blessing in that place and changing him. And now we're looking at David in the unlikely place of blessing, being qualified for something that you didn't seek after yourself, and yet God does it and makes you ready to be a leader. So this is a place of being prepared for leadership in an unlikely place. So we're going to go back and we're going to look, recap a little bit of what we went over yesterday, but also go further into this study and know that God has a place of leadership for each and every one of us that we have to embrace. And as we embrace it, we're going to see the demonstration of His power, and we're going to see the release of His word, His life, and His truth manifested through us as we obediently trust Him. And trusting God is something where all of your life, it's just not one time, it's every single day in every situation, trusting and knowing that He won't leave you, forsake you, that He's there, and He's got a way of your escape. He's going to be your very present help, and He's going to cause all things to work together for good. He's going to mix that, everything in your life, even the stuff we don't even understand, and make it look and work for good. And we have to trust that, because as we trust that, we understand that God's will for our life is going to bring glory, and it's going to cause us to prosper in Him in every area of our life, and we're going to be that which other people can look upon and say, okay, I want this God. This is more than religion. This is Him being manifested in you, and it's real. It's more than a religious act. This is a lifestyle of worship unto the Lord. This is a lifestyle of obedience. And no, we're not perfect. No, we are not perfect. We will mess up, but thank God for grace. Thank God that He washes us and He cleanses us. And thank God that He moves us on in Him so that we grow in the place where we fail. The Bible declares that a righteous man falls 7 times. But what I like about that is that 7 times means by the time I get to that 7th number, that's the place of completion. That means I know my enemy so well that I have studied him each time something happened and made me fall. I got up not being the same thing, but growing and understanding my enemy and what caused me to fall, what caused me to fail, what caused me to have a setback. And now when I get to that 7th time, I recognize him in such a way that I can see him afar off, and I can also help someone else who's going through the same thing because I recognize his enemy. So we're going to look at the life of David, and we're going to see what God is going to do, because we see David as a man after God's own heart. But David was not perfect, but he was a worshiper, and he was a man that was quick to repent, to run to God and repent. He was a man that trusted God and allowed his relationship with God to get more intimate. He allowed God to stretch him and teach him, and God allowed him to be a ruler that is mentioned in the Old Testament and the New, and is in the line and the lineage of where Jesus, his throne is sitting. So we understand that, and as we embrace that, God is not looking for some perfect person, because there is no one perfect but the Father. But he's looking for obedience. He's looking for us to trust him and rely on him and to walk continually in his divine will. And that's what he wants us to do. So as we look back and we see First Samuel 16, we're looking here and we see that the Bible says, declares that David is anointed. David is anointed as, and he's anointed by Samuel, the prophet, and he's anointed to be king. And he was anointed in the presence of his brothers. He was anointed in the place, in the presence of those who did not like him, in the presence of those who had a problem with him, in the presence of those who didn't care for him. And we see that because of the behavior and the conduct of his fathers and his brothers throughout the early stages of David's walk. His father leaves him in the field. Samuel keeps saying, is this all of your sons? And then he says, okay, yeah, we have one more. He's out in the field. But Samuel asked him to bring all of his sons. David was the eighth child, which represents new beginning. God wanted to do something new. And we see that Jesse was the grandson of Obed. Obed-Edom was the son of Ruth and Boaz, and we see that even in that, God chose an unlikely candidate. Ruth was an unlikely candidate who was set up for a blessing because she was a Moabite, but she decided, I'm going to follow the God of Naomi. I'm going to be with her, and I'm going to stay with her, and wherever she goes, God is going to be my God, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to love him. And because of her obedient trust, forsaking everything else, she becomes the mother of Obed, who now is the father of Jesse, who's in line with David, and it goes on to the line of Judah, which is Jesus Christ. So we see that God uses unlikely people and sets them up if they just obey. So we see that he's anointed in the presence of his brothers, he's anointed in the presence of the elders, and all of this is done, and they still did not recognize David's value. They still didn't see who he was, even though he was anointed by Samuel the prophet as king, the next king. They still didn't see his value because their treatment of him didn't change. And so sometimes you cannot spend and waste time trying to make people recognize, not sometimes, all the time. You cannot spend time making people recognize and see your value. You must know your value for yourself. If they never recognize it, if they never even say a word, the value that you have, they never come back and say, you are so anointed, or you are so this, or you are so that. Don't allow that to stop you. It is God who has anointed you. It is God who has appointed you. It is God who has called your life. Whether they ever recognize your anointing, ever see the value in you, ever understand the genuineness of you, ever see that you are God, one of God's chosen, if they never ever recognize it and they always shun you, it's okay. Continue to do what God says with all your heart, with a purified heart. Don't allow anything to get in your heart, because the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, then God doesn't hear us. If we regard unforgiveness and bitterness and anger in our heart, God does not hear us. He doesn't respond to us. And we don't need God not to hear us. So it doesn't matter if they never, ever recognize you. Let them go. Release them. Give them to God and make sure your heart is purified. Make sure your heart is clean, that you're not holding anyone or anything that they've done, so that you can be all that God has anointed you and called you to be. David is anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord at this time comes upon David, and David from this day forth has been empowered to do the will of God. You will be empowered by God to do his will. You will be empowered to do what he assigned you to do, called you to do, commissioned you to do, and you will do it in his strength, in his power, in his anointing, not in yours. You're going to rely on him, and he's going to show you and teach you and lead you and guide you in all truth so that you're always doing it for his glory, for his praise, and not your own. And that's what you have to do, because Saul's mistake was he started living for the praise of the people and the praise of his wounded self, because he was at a disadvantage because he was the smallest tribe. When they called him to be king, he hid himself because he couldn't see his value. And even though David faced rejection and all of these things, he didn't allow these things to get in his heart. He always ran to his God, Father God, and he allowed God to father him and love him and heal him, so that when he took the position that God called him, he was able to do it without the hang-up of unhealed places in his life. He wanted God to be glorified in his life. His relationship with God meant more than the people who couldn't see his value, didn't recognize who he was. He understood who he was because of his relationship of intimacy with God while he was in the sheep, in the fields with the sheep. He was building an intimate relationship with God there. And so we see that when David is anointed, when he's anointed, and his name means beloved, when David is anointed, this person who is beloved by God and will be beloved by a nation, beloved by people who will encounter him, even by Jonathan, who would be one of his very best friends. He's empowered to do the will of God. But as soon as the Spirit of God ascends on David, it lifts off of Saul. And the spirit that was on Saul is no more. Saul now is not empowered any longer by the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. And I believe that Saul felt this, the Spirit of God lift off of him, the presence of God lift off of him immediately, because the presence of God was that which reassured him, that gave him confidence and security and protection and power and ability. It gave him everything that he needed to be the king for God's people. But as soon as that presence lifted, everything else that he found himself in lifted as well. And so he felt alone. The Bible says that Saul was no longer empowered by the Spirit of God to serve as king, because God has rejected him and he's anointed another one. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell at that time in a person inwardly as it does now. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them, but did not dwell in them, because Jesus had not died on the cross and sent the Comforter so that we will have him inside of us to lead us and guide us in all truth. So they had the Holy Spirit that came upon them at different times, sometimes in temporary settings, and then it would lift or would be with them for a period of time. And so here, the Holy Spirit lifts off of Saul and goes to David, who is empowered now to do the will of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit lifted off of Saul, and Saul was left in this state of distress. It was a state where something else transpired, something else took place. And the Bible lets us know that it says that God sent it, but I don't believe the Lord sent it. I believe the Lord allowed a spirit, because God, that's out of the character of God. I believe the Lord allowed a spirit that was a demonic force to now come upon him, but he allowed it because his protection was God. As long as we stay in the will of God, divine protection is always there. And there are certain things that God will not allow to happen to us. But when we go in our permissive will and our permissive way outside of the will of God, we open ourselves up to the attacks of the enemy. And the enemy himself has now been given permission, because we're no longer walking in perfect will. We're walking in our will. And we know that will, a permissive will, is the door that gives the enemy room to come in, because it says God's way is not my way. And God's way is not good. And so it's not good. I'm walking in a spirit of rebellion. Rebellion breeds something else that is related to witchcraft, because you now have gone into that God's way is not the truth. It's not, I'm seeking another power or another way outside of God's way. So when we do that, that's what happens. You open up the door for other things to happen in your life, and we don't want that to happen in our life. We see that this same thing is set in 1 Kings 22. This happened to Ahab, that an evil messenger came to him. An evil messenger was sent to him. But we don't want to walk in a way that is outside of the will of God. We want to always be in the place where we're divinely connected to the God's will and his plan. I'm Dr. Cheryl Saxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favorite Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny and call of God, the purpose that he has for us. And we do this by growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. Obey God regardless. And I know that sometimes we wrestle with ourselves, but I believe that you will always go back to the perfect will of God and know that he's good. Have a blessed and wonderful day. We'll see you again tomorrow.